Warning. Warning.
This show contains mature content. Listener discretion is advised.
Are you ready to get your mind blown?
One angry New York City Puerto Rican decided to start a radio show, determined to piss the world off by shoving a mirror in front of society's face. He kicked them in the balls.
What are you? Who are you?
This is the Crotch Shot Radio Show. Crotch Shot Radio Show.
This is not a test. This is a broadcast transmission.
We're going to stay on the air.
And now, the weeping. The weeping.
Welcome to the Crotch Shot Radio Show, where we kick the issues in the balls. We are on an active war against bullshit. We would do anything and everything to expose bullshit. The ends sometimes justify the memes. So if you're angry and want the truth exposed, then strap in and prepare to be shocked. This is Smash Mouth Talk. If you can't accept that, then fuck off. I'm your host, Louis B. I takes no bullshits from no ones. Actually, expose the bullshit of society and chop it up into easy-to-digest chunks for you. Today won't be any different. Today, I am honored to have a guest. As you know, most of my guests are honored, but I had the chairman of the Proud Boys the other day, as you probably know, Enrique Tadio. I have an elder of the Proud Boys. I'm here with Elder Josh. Josh, how are ye?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. I try to avoid getting cursed out, but some days. Don't worry.
It happens.
I mean, if I'm not getting cussed out, then I'm doing something wrong. But, I was on your podcast on Monday, the Fuck Around and Find Out podcast. Where can people find that?
You can find it on Spotify. You can find it on Stitcher, Breaker. You can find it on Radio Free. You can find it on Google Podcasts. And there's probably other platforms that I'm not remembering off the top of my head. But those are the main ones you can find us on.
Very good. What is the Fuck Around and Find It podcast about?
Well, the Fuck Around and Find Out podcast goes around, it's basically centered around our motto within the Proud Boys, which is fuck around and find out. And for your guests that are listening that aren't familiar with that phrase, we kind of coined it when Antifa started making us a target in 2016. So we would say fuck around and find out. You know, if you're going to fuck with us, you're going to find out the response that you're going to get. And so basically it's a coined phrase that we came up with. And it basically means, exactly what I just said, but the podcast centers around on our Friday episodes. It's kind of less serious. It's a lot more bullshitting, joking around, having fun. It's kind of a round table type discussion. Mondays is more of our serious topics. Like you experienced on Monday where we were talking about the Patriots versus the Redskins.
Right. That's basically what we're going to do is kind of continue that over here. Everyone's already had their say about that kid that was smiling in the face of Chief running bullshit.
Right.
A name that we coined the name that we coined on your podcast. Because I mean, the whole narrative fell apart like really fast.
Oh yeah, and I watched I watched the CNN report today on how they basically they were like, "Oops, our bad. We kind of hit the ground running without getting all the facts, and we're going to give you all the facts." They were actually being provoked by the Black Hebrews.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and we went into detail again on the podcast about the Black Israelites. You know, they believe that, you know, that Native Americans, Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, you know, everyone that's in South America, that means the Mexicans, are all descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel. That's why in the video when the chief running bullshit was marching towards the boys, the, you know, the high school boys,
right,
to intimidate, like, really, like, how brave, like, does he have to be? Like, oh my goodness, I'm fighting white privilege by going after children.
Well, you know what that video showed me?
What?
When I was watching, you know, the snippets of when they were harassing the kid up till the point to when he showed up, is that it was all staged.
Yeah.
If you really look at how the video started, is they planned on this guy showing up. It was planned from the beginning, and that's why they were taunting, because they knew the liberal media was going to cut snippets out of that and run with, you know, what I think it was like a 23-second clip.
Yeah. I mean, and even if they were, okay, you're smirking in someone's face. Oh, okay, and? I mean, he's standing there quietly. Like, what do you expect? Like, I wouldn't, like, if somebody was trying to intimidate me, I'm not gonna pull out the red carpet. Well, there you go, sir. I'm like, no, fucking go around.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's just like somebody tried to walk in front of you,
yeah,
and try to push past you by being in front of you. You don't fucking do that. There's something called common courtesy.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, but then, you know, once the full video came out, they had to do an about face. I mean, I put, like, this is being said everywhere. When you even have CNN calling you a fucking liar, you know you fucked up.
And yet, if you look all over Twitter, they're still running with that lie. I mean, what was the most recent one was a video of that fucking dude. I can't remember his name. He's in New York. He's in your area. But he's telling them to go bird dog women and shit like that. It's like, dude, you're talking to kids as if they actually did something wrong when the video shows that they did nothing.
Ooh, Sean King?
No, not Sean King. I'm trying to pull up my Twitter right now so I can actually
All I know is like they're still trying to like paint these guys as you know, as a bunch of racists. Like I saw
Rappaport.
No, he's in Boston. Yeah. He's a Boston motherfucker. Like, honestly, yeah. I remember when Michael Rappaport used to be funny, but now he wants to be this little social justice warrior motherfucker. And the only time I ever laughed recently of any of his shit was, what the fuck? Oh, shit. Oops. Gabe, give me 20 minutes. I'll call you right back. You heard me?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, give me 20 minutes. I will get you on the show. We're just covering.
I just want to make sure I missed you or anything.
No, I'm on live now.
Okay.
All right.
You want me in 20 minutes?
20 minutes, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. We'll see you then.
All right, cool. Live radio, everyone.
So you have a whole lineup for tonight.
Yes, we're going to, after this, we're going to be talking about the New York City leadership. Like I was trying to tell you the other day over the phone, you know, we're going to, but those of you, you know, just so we're going to tease, we're going to expose Spencer Sunshine to the Proud Boys elder. And we're going to download them on some information. So stay tuned. Gabe Brown coming
that
soon.
Exciting.
Yes. So where was I? Oh, like the
Rappaport.
Yeah, Michael Rappaport. The only thing I ever laughed at that he put out recently was him cursing out a cat.
Okay.
It was like, hold on, let me see. For those that probably didn't hear it, just Michael Rapaport. Like, he always got some dumb shit to say. Like, oh, you stupid motherfucker. Like, he's not even, like, saying anything. Like, you know, here it is.
Oh. Yeah.
What the fuck is that? What the fuck is that? A fucking cat? Hey, don't fucking look at me like that. That's a weird looking fucking cat. Ma! Yo, there's a stray cat outside. I don't want it starting a fight with Lucy. Lucy, it's okay. It's okay, Lucy. Don't worry about it. Ma! Ma, there's a weird fucking stray cat outside. It looks like grandma, the fucking thing. Hey, get the fuck out of here. I don't even know if that's a fucking cat. Blink, motherfucker. No.
Yeah. I guess it was funny like the first five times I saw it, but now okay, I guess it's lost its mistake.
Yeah, I probably if I were watching it, it'd have been funnier.
Yeah. Yeah, probably doesn't translate well to audio. But you know, like but all he has to do he's one of these leftists that thinks he's a fucking tough guy. When Alex Jones got deplatformed, he's like, good, you don't deserve the right to fucking have freedom of speech. Like, really, motherfucker? Really?
Everybody deserves the right to free speech.
Like, really, motherfucker? Like, as you're a comedian and you're trying to deny someone freedom of speech? Like, you got relegated, like, I don't even know what he does recently. He just got relegated to, like, fucking doing Instagram videos and shit. Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Like, he doesn't have a Netflix special out. He doesn't have no specials out.
It's probably because nobody wants to hire him because of the way he is.
Yeah, I mean, the only show... Well, he does have a show on Netflix. But it's not a comedy. So... I mean, you know, I guess that is something. Okay, yeah. I mean, he does have he's on the show Atypical. But, you know, other than that, you know, it's like, yo, stay in your fucking, just like, I can't, like, you just don't want, you want to alienate or, like, half your fan base? Like, you should have stayed talking about sports.
It's not just him though. It's literally every Hollywood liberal out there. Honestly, Melissa it's Milano. You know.
Yeah, I mean, well, Alyssa Milano. Like, come on, like, bitch.
Yeah. Like, Melissa. Bitch. Alyssa.
Melissa Milano. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the only thing I'll ever watch her in was the one where she's topless and just that one scene, and that's it. When she was younger.
Well, and she was also in that show Charmed. Remember?
Yeah, I didn't watch that abortion. They had to. It was so good. It was so good. They had to reboot it, and I'm still not gonna watch that shit either. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was one of those things that when I was a kid, my mom would put it on TV, and if I had nothing better to do, I'd sit on the couch and watch it with her.
I did like the theme song, though.
I don't even remember the theme song, to be honest with you.
I am the air. I'm human and I need to be loved, just like anybody else does.
Yeah, that one. I know that one.
Yeah.
But you know, this is the modern age that we live in. I don't know if you saw today, but today the biggest hype was people talking about the possibility of us going into another civil war because tensions haven't been this high since the Civil War.
Yeah, well, what we're gonna fight about? I mean, it'll be Kekistan versus the sissies. I don't know. Like they don't fight. They don't fight. They can't fight. Like what if they even come into a fucking civil war? there. First of all, I'm gonna be fine. You're not gonna see me coming because their internal racism, their real racism, is not gonna suspect me until I'm on top of them.
Yeah,
I'll be able to sneak into their camp and be like, "Well, I'm brown, haha."
What they were trying to say is basically like there, you know, during the Civil War, there was a low confidence in the federal government, just like there is now. There are high tensions between two divided factions, you know, but this time it's not really going to be political because once you get off the computer, you get out of the echo chambers.
Mm-hmm.
We can actually sit, well, most of us, I won't say all of us, but, you know, if you're on the extreme right or the extreme left, you're not really going to want to have a conversation with anybody. But, you know, us guys that are kind of, you know, I wouldn't say in the middle specifically, but more toward the middle than the far left or far right, we're more willing to have civil discourse. And then we find out, hey, we're probably not that different from each other.
Well,
we have discussion.
What I've noticed and what I've actually proven on this very show, when I had a former member of Antifa on the show that basically came and talked with the guys at Patriot Prayer at in Seattle. You know, she was like, "Oh, let me find out if they're really Nazis." She finds out they're not really Nazis, and on top of that, she finds out that her own people are a bunch of are the real transphobics. Because I mean, you probably heard of her, Edie Dixon.
Oh.
Yeah, like I had Alyssa Bang, and she was talking to Edie Dixon, and it's like, "Oh wait, you're not Nazis." And then just for saying that, she got kicked out of Antifa, and now she keeps getting attacked by Antifa. You think her constantly getting pepper sprayed and attacked by Antifa is gonna make her? I'm like, "Oh, my mistake. I'm a liberal again." No, it pushes people to the right. It pushes people that thought that, you know, being on the right was evil, and pushing them to our side. Which, I mean, you know, you get rational people, you're just gonna turn them on our side. All they gotta do is talk to us because when they come into our camp, we're like, "Oh, hey, how you doing? Oh, okay, no, this is what we believe. This is what this is about." We don't hit them. We don't attack them. We go to their camp. No. We go to their camp. "Oh, we don't want to talk with you. We don't want to engage with you." And then someone tries to fucking steal on you. Like, "Oh my goodness, I'm so brave. Well, I'm just going to sucker punch somebody." Like,
and then they try to run, and the cops catch them, and then they're all bitching about, "Oh, well, they're provoking, blah, 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 blah."
Oh, shit, that's him. Okay. All right, I got to call. Let me call him. Jeebus. J-Boss. Let me call him. All right.
Has it already been 20 minutes?
Yes, it has.
Oh, wow.
Yes, time flies when we're having fun. All right, I'm gonna call Gabe Brown on. All right. Okay. Oh wait, why didn't? Here it is. Let me call his ass. I wonder. There we go. Multiple lines. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm calling Top Researcher.
Hello?
Gabe, what's up?
What's happening?
You are on live. You're on live with me and Josh.
Excellent. How's it going?
Yeah, we were actually talking about Antifa, how basically they're
good friends.
Yeah, they're doing you're what?
Our good friends.
Oh yeah, they write about you all the time.
Yeah, they every week practically.
Yeah. you're like the Oprah. Who the fuck? Wait a minute, who's calling me? Private number. Alright. Is that hello?
You are the face of white privilege.
I am?
Who's calling you on a private number to tell you that?
I'm the face of white privilege. right.
Yes, says a kid that's probably whiter than both of us combined.
You're the face of white privilege.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to tell you, they want to talk about this white supremacy crap. Well, Antifa and these regressives that subscribe to the religion of social justice, they're the left-wing white supremacists.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm going to call them out on that. You know, they want to talk about right-wing white supremacy. Well, you know what? White supremacy has a left and right wing, and they're the left wing of it, whether they want to acknowledge it or not.
Yeah,
I'm going to call them out on it. They should check their
privilege. Well, and they're also pussies. He calls me private number, and then he just, yeah, the face of white privilege, and hangs up. Like, yeah, okay, how brave. How brave, because you can't come at me, you can't stand against me physically, and you can't stand against me intellectually. I own you on both fronts, and I probably fucked your mother, so happy birthday, son.
You're the face of white supremacy. What a jackass.
I mean, if that's the... honestly, but wait a minute. If I'm the face of white supremacy, it can't be... They can't be that white supremacist, can they? I mean, I'm brown. In fact, if the sun hits me, I turn Negro 10. Like, you know, I get really dark. I got melanin to spare, son.
Yeah, you know, for such a white supremacist that must be. I'm telling you, last summer when I was working out in the field, out on the main road, I'd constantly get people honking at me from landscaping trucks. And a lot of them were brown-skinned folk. So they literally thought I was one of them because I was so dark-skinned.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not doing very good being a quote-unquote white supremacist when my skin color don't even match the color of most of the Antifa kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
you're not a pussy either. You're not wearing a mask when you. Yeah, I bet you he was wearing a mask when he made the phone call too.
Yeah, he's like, they might see me. I don't want to be found. Don't worry. I might get those. If I start getting more of these calls, I'm gonna just get that unmasking. That's a masky service. And
yeah,
just,
you're gonna get that unmasking tape.
Yeah, the unmasking tape. No, I'm going to get that service that unblocks phone calls, so that way when they call blocked or hidden number, you know, you just click it, and then it just reveals their phone number, and it's like, gotcha, nigga. So.
Well, I mean, you pay for it. It's a good investment. That's what I do.
Yeah. It's like, okay. You're the face of white supremacy. Like, oh, okay. All right. Actually, that was, like, my first, like, harassing call since I went after fucking Luke.
Well,
I remember
what?
Those
days. Because he's listening to this, we should get him to come back on, or at least call you again, and let's argue that point.
Oh, I hope he comes up. I want him to talk to us.
Yeah, yeah. No,
I would love for this caller to talk
on the left who... Anybody on the left who's listening to this.
Yeah.
Call. Don't be a fucking bitch. How about you fucking call and actually fucking debate us?
Yeah, I mean,
no, don't scream your echo chamber talking points. Actually, have an actual debate, because as far as I know, every time I've been to a rally and debated you motherfuckers, the moment that I challenge your point of view and ask you why, simple questions like why, they go unhinged because they don't know why.
Well, they're like Seth from American History X. You know, the statement, they're the enemy. We don't want to know anything about them. That's the way they act like. They act like the literal skinheads in American History X that don't want to know anything about their quote-unquote enemies. That's who they are. And that's who they act like, and they don't even realize it. It's so comical to me.
You know, he's probably jerking his dick right now. He's like, oh, they're talking about me.
Look, I'm faint. Watch, he's going to go to his inner circle in fucking Seattle or where. You know, it wouldn't be surprised if that was fucking... Mr. Anti-Fash Gordon Jerry Savage fucking calling you all the way from fucking Washington.
Yeah, but how did he get my fucking personal cell number?
Well, that's what they
you
do.
Know
they
what I've been saying
the
whole
internet.
Time, Louie, about them having connections to things that, you know, maybe on the conspiratorial side of things. I mean, let's face it, Antifa works with, you know, powerful people, and they work as foot soldiers for the state. And they have access to databases. It's pretty clear they do.
Mm.
I mean, it's clear that they know people who have information. I guarantee they've been watching all of us for years.
Huh. Well,
they figured out a way to get your information.
To kind of corroborate what you're saying, let's just call out one chapter of Antifa. We're going to go with the Tennessee chapter called Jam City Antifa. We're going to go with the ones that are in fucking Nashville. There's a kid.
Okay, good, because I'm not as familiar with the Nashville folks, so you can educate me on them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's a guy. I'm trying to remember his name off the top of my head. Last name is Reed. Middle name Deshaun. The person who started the Antifa chapter there is actually a professor at Vanderbilt.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Vanderbilt.
A lot of times that happens.
And she travels around with him every now and then, but she, at this point, because of her position at Vanderbilt, she prefers to stay behind the scenes, but you know she's the one that's feeding him for the one that's calling the shots. Because Mr. Whatever Deshaun Reed, he can't even fucking form a proper sentence, but he can definitely, try to, off of very poor information, try to dox Proud Boys and only get semi to almost not accurate information whatsoever.
Well, that's part of the goal. The goal is to put out semi poor, inaccurate information so it creates a whole myth in itself. And people feed off that myth. And then they'll attack you based on literal, like, made-up lies that they actually believe are true. The ones that are really, naive about all this. Yeah, that's what they're doing. And also, they do have these, like, professors and these people behind the scenes that certainly lead them. Well, most of those people are not out in the street doing anything. They're behind the scenes for a reason. You're right.
Well, what's funny is I used to do, bail enforcement for a while after I got out of the Army the first time. And so I still have that ability to be able to go into these federal databases to track people. And when I found out who the kid was that that runs the Jam City Antifa Twitter and all that shit, I ran a background check on him. And he has a very, very, very lengthy criminal history, including credit card fraud.
Oh, sure. I don't doubt that. I'm telling you, if you dig into the background of a lot of these quote-unquote leaders that don't call themselves leaders, or people that run these websites, these Antifa prominent figures, they are tied to some really interesting, fascinating things, whether it be criminal activity or, people with foundation connections. We talk about Soros all the time. Well, there are people who do provide, free bus rides to some of the activists at Occupy Wall Street during the time. And a lot of those activists at Occupy became Antifa members. So they're definitely all friendly with each other, for sure. I know that for a fact. So everything you're saying about what's going on in your neck of the woods is not really, or at least that neck of the woods, that is not at all surprising one bit. Not me.
Oh, yeah, no, where I'm at, we've got a dedicated hotline created by Antifa just to be able to give tips on our locations.
Yeah, I believe it. They actually put out a wanted poster of me in 2013 encouraging people to email information if they had seen me or other individuals on the wanted poster to send tips to, one of their email addresses. I've been dealing with this for about 5 years now. Maybe a little longer.
Well, if Antifa wants to, email me directly some hate mail, you can always email me at theelders@protonmail.com. I'm just going to put it out there.
Yeah.
There you go. They would love that advertisement.
Hold on. I got the commercial for that Antifa has for Gabe.
Ooh.
Have you seen Gabe Brown? He stands about 5'7", 210 pounds, and a white supremacist. If you would like to send us information, call 1-800-BUTT-SEX. That's 1-800-BUTT-SEX. All right.
That's pretty funny.
1-800-BUTT-SEX, huh?
Yeah, extend.
Unsolved mysteries.
Yeah.
I got your number. Hilarious. Now.
What happened?
I got your number.
Oh.
Wow. You're gonna be hearing from me.
Damn. All right. Well, you know, just ask for operator butt snacks. That's my butt snacks.
So you deal with the down in Tennessee Anspo down there quite a bit.
I deal with them all over the country. I'm not in Tennessee.
I was just curious because I didn't know anything about them so much.
I'm deep south.
I got you. Yeah, no, we have quite a bit of problem here in the Northeast ourselves. Mm-hmm. A lot of the ones in New York City, you know, the more prominent ones, they're definitely tied in with, like, foundation money people. And then they work with people higher up on the food chain. I can give you a couple names if you want to write them down just so you get an idea of what we're talking about here. Individuals' name is Spencer Sunshine, and he writes for a website called Political Research Associates. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with the PRA, but the PRA acts like kind of like the Southern Poverty Law Center. They constantly write articles about, you know, right-wing, like, stuff they're watching. And Spencer's been writing for their publications for, you know, at least going back to, like, 2008. Or maybe even earlier than that. Mm-hmm. Now, what's interesting is, like, Spencer put out an article during 2014 of the 20 on the far right for Occupy Wall Street. He listed Ron Paul supporters, Oath Keepers, you name it, everything. And that was back in 2014. And what's interesting about the PRA is that it's funded by the Ford Foundation. Wow. And Spencer Sunshine admits that he receives a paycheck from the PRA for the articles that he produces for them. So that would make him a paid mercenary of the established ruling class.
I'm writing all of this down because this is going to be fun research.
Yeah, you definitely want to look into Spencer Sunshine because in many ways, from what I've learned about him for the last 4 or 5 years, is that he writes a lot of the narrative articles mm-hmm. that then get trickled down to the useful idiots who aren't as intellectual, but they all essentially get the memo through other channels, you know, even if whether they're reading it or not, and he certainly applies that. In fact, he was in New York City back in 2017 during June, and he gave a huge lecture on all the groups in New York City that needed to be targeted, and the Proud Boys were specifically one of them. He had mentioned groups I had co-founded. Mm-hmm. He was concerned about how all the different groups were getting together and creating a united coalition against Antifa. So that was sponsored by PRA. It
wouldn't be a bad idea.
What's up?
It wouldn't be a bad idea if we had a united coalition because that means time there was an event, it would be huge.
Well, you see, that was what was kind of forming because so many groups were being attacked by Antifa. They were all kind of just gravitating towards each other and kind of collaborating to some degree as a coalition. That was scaring Antifa in New York City. So therefore, they pulled out the big guns and the foundations came out and sponsored, you know, their efforts to strategize, you know, ways to basically dismantle this coalition effort. And I highly recommend you watch the lecture that Spencer Sunshine gave on Political Research Associates' YouTube channel. And you can check it out for yourself. I think it's like almost 2 hours long, but he outlines all these different factors. And it's interesting because they've been executing their plans ever since then from everything they talked about in that lecture. And people don't even realize it. Now, it's also, I'm also going to, we'll get back to Spencer too, but I want to mention another name of somebody that people aren't familiar with. Political Research Associates is highly tied to a man named Chip Berlay. Now, Chip Berlay is not a young guy. He's like closer to his 60s. And you never see him at rallies. You never see him involved in anything. But this guy is connected to every Antifa intelligentsia person that's out there mm-hmm. and here in a network. He's admitted that there's over 100 people involved with him just on that front during a lecture gave at a university.
His name is Chip Berlay?
Chip Berlay. Chip Berlay. Chip Berlay has been out there attacking people who talk about Bilderberg. He says it's an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory. He's been at this for a long time. He acts like a Stalinist, where he essentially accuses everybody of being fascist in many ways. But Spencer and all these guys are highly tied to this man. And like I say, he's an older gentleman. He's definitely got connections to the Southern Poverty Law Center, from what I understand.
Oh, you mean his full name is John Foster Burley.
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised at that. He calls himself Chip Burley. You can find a Wikipedia page on him. And,
yeah, I did.
He has like a mustache, and he's got white hair.
Yeah. And I found his thing on political
research associates.
Yeah.
And how do you spell his last name?
Berlet.
Okay.
And
he's
November 22nd, 1949. That makes him 69 years old.
Like I said, he's up there in age.
Yeah, that's a very funny age to be. Like, I'm 69. No, I'm just kidding.
No, let me tell you, he doesn't go out to the rallies, and he doesn't engage in violence, but I know for a fact he's tied in with all the people who are the intelligentsia, who then trickled down the intelligence to the useful idiots in Antifa that engage in this extreme violence. So he has a role to play in all this. And nobody even knows about him. Except for a few people.
Hey, I just ran a background check on him. You wanna get some juicy information?
Oh,
I would love some juicy information.
Oh, crotch shot radio
and Spencer
exclusives.
Too. You should run a background check on Spencer Sunshine too.
Well, if Sunshine is his real last name, but I'm pretty sure
assuming
I'll be able to find
it's his real last name.
Connection.
He claims it's his real last name.
Okay, so he's from Burlington, Massachusetts.
Yep.
November 22nd, 1949. He's 69. He's a Sagittarius.
Ooh.
He looks like a pedophile with a mustache and a fedora.
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, so he must be an MRA.
He went to the University of Denver, and he started in January 1968, and he finished on December 31st of 1971.
Mm-hmm.
His relatives... I'm not going to say their names just because I'm not an asshole, but I'm assuming one of them is his son because they're very similar in name, and he's 37.
But he, but he's fat, so they call him Chunk Burley.
So he has a. Can I say phone numbers?
I wouldn't.
I don't know if we get in trouble for
that. I wouldn't, you know, just, like, let's keep it above board. Let's keep the phone numbers on the
DL. Let's make it clear that we know information. We won't put out necessarily any information that could get anyone in trouble, per se.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can talk about the details of what we do know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have his phone numbers and I have his email addresses, so... I also have where I have the last address in which he was sent mail to, which was updated today.
Hmm.
Yeah, I've got his Facebook, his Twitter, his LinkedIn, his Pinterest, his Amazon account, his Flickr account. He has two of them.
Oh my goodness.
Previous addresses in which he owned, the property values, his wife. Okay, I know who his wife is now. Okay,
I got a feeling
history?
his wife is Taiwanese.
No.
Do you know, does he own, like, expensive property? Is that something that, like, is he an expensive property landowner by any chance?
Actually,
in a vague way?
It was originally bought in 1987. Which is funny. At the time, I guess that would have been expensive because the assessed value of the home today is like $508,000.
Yeah. Well, he definitely he's in our
He was an editor at Defend Dissent Foundation, which is called Dissent Newswire. He was a senior analyst for Research for Progress. He was or is a senior analyst for Political Research Associates.
Yep.
direct connection. And then that's where the information ends. He doesn't have a criminal history.
Well, in his case, he probably doesn't. He probably has a squeaky clean history, but he's so tied to the establishment and these institutions. But what is interesting, he is dealing with people who have potential interesting backgrounds if you look into how his information is trickling it down. Streets.
And what's funny is he doesn't realize that some of the guys that he's making his enemy have just as many connections as he may have.
Of course. Actually, I'm pretty sure he knows that, which is, but he doesn't want us to organize and realize that. You see, people have to understand, Antifa is highly organized, even though they're not. They're highly organized on the intelligentsia section.
Yeah.
I've got more employment history. You're going to love this.
Oh.
By the way, he's the only John Berlay in the country. He was a paralegal investigator. He worked on the case with the American Civil Liberties Union of Illinois versus the city of Chicago, or via the city of Chicago, one of the two. He was an editor. He was editor and staff for the National Lawyers Guild. So there's his connections right there.
There you go.
He was a writing and editing staff member for the National Students Education Fund. He was an active member until 2009 of the National Lawyers Guild. He was an editor for College Press Services. He was a freelance writer for Independent Writing and Editing Professional. That's that company. That's what that one is. And then in 2012, he was unemployed looking for work. 2009, it says political analyst, investigative journalist, and photojournalist. And in 2009, also, he was an actor.
An actor?
He was an actor.
Mm. Yeah, he's acting, all right. He's acting like he's for the workers and that he represents the downtrodden and anti-establishment movement when he assists his establishment as Hillary Clinton.
If I have a name and a general location, I could pretty much find anybody.
Well, I do know this. I know Spencer Sunshine's in Brooklyn somewhere, and I believe he's 41 years old.
Brooklyn.
It would be nice to know his work employment history.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty positive that's not his last name, because they'll all claim his last name, but it's not.
He's proud to, like, announce how Jewish he is and how Jewish of a last name it is, even though I didn't know it was a Jewish last name. But he just obsessed with being Jewish and Jewish identitarian. It's pretty crazy.
And yet he likes to support anti-Semitic protests and rallies. Okay.
Yes.
You said he was 41?
Yeah, he's about 41 from what I could tell. I know... Yeah, he's definitely up there in his 40s now.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, we have to, we would have to capture him, pull down his pants, and count the rings around his anus.
Okay. All right, so just so you know, there is no name in the database of Spencer Sunshine. It's all Sunshine Spencer, and they're all female, and there's nobody in Brooklyn.
Well, that's what he's going as, and like I said, he's very mysterious in the fact that we have no idea where he is other than Brooklyn. That's as close as we know. But I do know he puts this name that he goes by on a bunch of articles. He does interviews. He's in connection with a lot of the intelligentsia people for Antifa. He's in connection with people like Alexander Reed Ross, who's out in Portland as a lecturer at the University of Portland. Alexander Reed Ross is also the author of the book, The Creep, the Fascist Creep, which, funny enough, that book was kind of offered as a result of me and a friend of mine. He kind of wrote it because of us.
Oh.
Yeah, he admitted that. He didn't say us by name, but he said certain events that we were kind of associated with. But, yeah, Alexander Reed Ross is another one, a.k.a. Sasha. Then you have folks like Matthew Lyons, who writes for something called Three-Way, which is a blog that he posts. He's also tied in with a lot of these guys, too.
We had a Matthew Lyons in our organization, and he backed away.
Yeah, we knew him, too.
Well, that's not the same Matthew Lyons. I actually was good friends with him. But there is an Antifa Matthew Lyons, and he apparently does karate or something. But he writes, he does a lot of narrative writing alongside Spencer Sunshine and Alexander Reed Ross. And he's out there actively pushing these narratives, which then trickle down into the smaller circles of the social justice atmosphere apparatus. So these are definitely names you want to keep in mind. You want to start researching and learn more about, because I think you do that, you're going to learn that they have ties to a lot of interesting stuff. Like I said, Spencer has ties to Political Research Associates, which is, again, a Ford Foundation-funded operation. Ford Foundation, I'm sure you're familiar with the work they've done for decades, supplying leftist groups with support. And the funny thing is they're named after Henry Ford, a man who has been said to be an anti-Semite that Hitler admired.
And a eugenicist.
Yeah, he was a eugenicist. He provided pamphlets called The International Jew with each and every Ford vehicle that he sold to the customer. But yet, Antifa has no problem taking sponsorship from organizations funded by that very, Henry Ford Foundation.
Well, it's kind of interesting that we're talking about this. The Women's March. So Enrique, our chairman, went to the Women's March in Orlando over the weekend, or last week. And it was funny because I was watching the live feed.
Yeah.
And he ended up getting one person to admit that they were anti-Semitic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, actually, it's funny. Spencer Sunshine, because he is such a Jewish identitarian, he actually has beef with the other leftists who supported the march and support, Linda Sarsour, because he views her as an anti-Semite. He also thinks Jill Stein of the Green Parties is a fascist party, and he believes that her VP was an anti-Semitic Holocaust denier. He likes to accuse a lot of people of these positions. But he's obsessed with anybody who criticizes Zionism or Israel.
Of course.
Zionism,
even though he doesn't like Israel, from what I can tell, but he's obsessed with the whole Jewish thing, which is really funny to me.
I was just about to say something because I know some of the guys that are listening to this would actually get what I'm saying, but other people would probably take it out of context.
Perhaps. What's funny? What I've come to realize about Spencer is he is purposely engaging in stereotypical behavior that national criticized Jews for. He's doing the things that you would, he's doing that. I think because the goal is to encourage people to become anti-Semitic so he can then play the victim. Because he's made a career out of being a social justice psychopath. So now he's in his 40s, so, let's face it, if they were to stop racism and stop anti-Semitic, hate, they wouldn't have a job. The Southern Poverty Law Center would not be able to exist and not be able to, hold on to $330 million. And none of these organizations, Political Research Associates, they would all go belly up and bankrupt because there would be no hate to fight. So these guys need to create hate.
Of course. And Louis can tell you, because I've known Louis forever. Back in our armed days, the SPLC was targeting us. So they have a history of targeting groups that just they don't agree with.
Yeah. Oh, remember remember this site called Hate Trackers?
Dude, they're still at it. They constantly are going after the dudes in Oklahoma.
Jesus. They had their own theme song and everything.
Wow.
They would show pictures of people. They were famous for doxing people.
They're still at it. They're just doing it on a more local level.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then a lot of this seems like to me that you know what it is? You have different levels of Antifa. You have the people on the ground who genuinely feel that they're a fascist and they need to stop them because they've been conditioned to believe that, you know, Patriot Prayer, Proud Boys are all white supremacists, Nazis, and want to kill everybody. So they believe that. That's your Alyssa Banks, for example, that was went through that whole period where she thought that she was fighting these Nazis until she found out the truth. Now they're basically beating her up.
Yeah, like and also
and
like Tiny.
Her with
I
violence.
Mean, it was a very
similar. Too.
Yeah, Tiny too. Like, you know, it's like that. That's the thing. It's like they're so dishonest. Like, to bring it back to the original topic of the show before we close out. You know, they're all intellectually dishonest. And here's the thing that's annoying. They know that they're lying. They know that you're lying, and they know that you know that they're lying, yet they need to stick to the story so unconvincingly, but it's annoying. It's like with the Catholic school kids, I mean, they couldn't just drop it like, oh shit, we fucked up. Now that I saw this video of some guys with red hats, you don't even know. I honestly tend to think that it's staged, but they were like screaming, build the wall, and these girls are like they're like looking at them like idiots, and they're like, oh, those are the Covington school kids. But They could have been anybody. I mean, it's like, okay. And then there was this picture that I posted because I saw this floating around and I wanted to know if there was any validity to it. Because, I mean, but apparently it's a sporting thing that has nothing to do with racism. I don't know what it's about, but it's called a blackout. Like in basketball, a blackout.
I've seen that one, and they try to claim the Covington High School kids.
Yeah, like they're yelling at a black player, and they're all paint like they have black, not all of them, but a couple of them you see with blackface
and red hat.
No red hat. They were just, you know, at a basketball game. I mean, and it's like, I don't know if it was blackface to look like a black person, or it was like, because to me they look like they were painted up and to look like Venom. But, you know,
probably again, were. I mean, most people in today's society aren't thinking of, well, they're dressed blackface to be racist. I mean, that's not going for most people's minds.
Yeah,
it's going for SJW's minds, but most Americans aren't thinking like that.
Yeah,
you know.
But you know, but, I want to. Yeah, know, yeah. I mean, that's the only thing I have a question about, but. Like, but at you know, the only thing that really annoys me when it comes to race is whenever these white people, like during the Puerto Rican Day parade, they come into the bar to celebrate after our fucking parade, and they start going, ay 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 ay, oh, or órale. I'm like, that's not us. Wrong Spanish people. That's not.
You're
stop.
All brown. You're all the same.
Yeah, it's like, oh, what's the difference? You both speak Spanish. I'm gonna kick you in your fucking third tit.
Well, the difference is you're gonna get kicked in the head. That's the difference.
Yeah, I mean the difference is there's no wall to keep us out. We're already here. That's
yeah.
You know,
like I was saying earlier. Yeah, so you have your Alyssa Banks, who, you know, ex-Antifa people. But majority of the people on the ground, they really just, like, they're sold lies. They're fed lies. They don't know, like, the bigger picture of what's going on behind the scenes. And their age range can be anywhere between, like, I don't know, 15 to, like, 35, generally. And you have rare occasions where you actually have grown adults on that level who aren't smart enough to know what's going on. But they're useful idiots. You don't have to pay them a paycheck. They'll destroy stuff for free. Okay, then you have like guys like Spencer Sunshine, who's up there and is, you know, between 35 to like 60, who they operate as, you know, the elders in a way of the, you know, useful idiot class. They're the ones who come up and craft these narratives because they went to college, they were fed the cultural Marxist ideology, and they're trying to make a career out of this. So they'll put out fake news, and then the people on the lower ends will, you know, they'll feed off it, not knowing any better. So, and then you got guys like Chip Brule, who were up in there in the 60s and almost 70s, and those are the guys behind the scenes who have ties to the institutions that people like Spencer Sunshine have been able to, you know, work for and make money from. So you got those different levels from what I could tell. And then, you know, just from, like, what Antifa is, I mean, they're sponsored by a bunch of different elements. Like I said before, the Ford Foundation sponsors them. The Southern Poverty Law Center acts as a sponsor, as well as a FBI front. They're an intelligence gathering front for, you know, the FBI. And Antifa acts as confidential informants for the FBI through the Southern Poverty Law Center. And if you think about it, what's the deep state doing? They're using Antifa as a shock troop force to go and disrupt and attack dissident groups against the New World Order in the United States. And, you know, the FBI and all these alphabet agencies, they can't legally just show up and shut your event down. They can't shut this radio show down. They can't do anything without legal authority to justify it. But Antifa can show up to your event with a bat and smash you over the head and shut it down by force. And if you think about it, that's how law enforcement gets around the legal boundaries, because Antifa basically acts like an extended arm of the state, shutting down things. So that's how you get around the legal justification for warrants and, you know, things like that. So Antifa, in essence, is acting and operating as a functioning part of the state. They're shock troops. They're getting sponsored by, like, folks like Soros. You know, we talked about the National Lawyers Guild. I mean, there's definitely money going into that to pay the legal fees if anyone's arrested. I mean, when I was at Occupy Wall Street, I signed up to go on a free bus ride, which MoveOn.org and Soros Connected Money was tied to, for a man named Aaron Black, who was also listed on the Project Veritas videos when he was talking about, you know, staging violence at Trump rallies. Now, what's interesting is I was on that bus. Aaron Black was an organizer. They had propaganda films which taught you how to, they taught you to purposely get yourself arrested for propaganda purposes so you can, you know, create sympathy in the media. They taught me that on the bus. They taught a bunch of us on that bus. And when I was at Occupy and I dealt with, you know, unlawful arrest by the NYPD, well, the National Air Guild was there for me. And they basically paid my fees. And I was able to fight it in court because, thankfully, I did have evidence to protect myself. But they were able to take the case, and I didn't have to find an expensive lawyer. I was able to use them. So, yeah, Antifa will seek out the National Lawyer Guild, and they will seek out, you know, these resources. So all these kids are like, oh, where's my Soros paycheck? You're not getting a paycheck, you dummy. They got all the resources. They got paper flyers. They got websites. They got, you know, free bus rides. They got, you know, bailout money for when you go to jail, and they have National Lawyer Guild take care of your, you know, criminal stuff in court. They don't realize that how they're getting sponsored.
They get paid in Bitcoin.
They get paid for resources and being able to be protected.
Yeah, and the whole reason why I bring up them getting paid in Bitcoin is, you know, that's how these people are able to, you know, hide their paper trail, is because Bitcoin doesn't have a paper trail.
You know, it's funny that you bring up Bitcoin. Actually, there's some Antifa people going around saying that Bitcoin is a right-wing fascist currency and that they shouldn't be using it. They actually put out a book about it, saying that it's the right-wing history, you know, the secret history of Bitcoin being a right-wing, you know, extremist thing. So you might want to look into those details.
Goodness. I mean, it's like they get their tactics from the Salem witch trials.
Well, they behave like the people at the Salem witch trials, but it's more like they get their marching orders from, like, the Bilderberg group type, you know, roundtable apparatus.
And like, you know, I mean, talking about useful idiots, is the majority of them think they're modern-day Bolsheviks.
Yeah, no, they do. They really do believe that, even though they don't have the
working-class spirit. They're more like modern-day bullshitters. Ho-ho! Give me one. No, I'm sorry.
High five.
Well, yeah, no, they really do, like, think that they're, like, they are LARPing as revolutionaries in many ways. You know, the kind that they romanticized about during the Bolshevik Revolution. Now, what's really funny is, you know, I've concluded that they're economically, they're neoliberal, you know, global capitalists, but socially, they're cultural Marxists. because they're not interested in the working class. They're not interested in the blue collar, you know, people who, you know, union people. They're interested in identity politics and bourgeoisie politics of the, you know, upper middle class to upper class strand, because none of the working people, you know, none of the working class people care about these things. But these kids are all obsessed with these identity politics that if you ask the average union worker, they just laugh at them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even relate to those kind of people. They don't relate to people who are independent contractors and firefighters and people who actually work hard jobs. Yeah. So they like, they're alien to them.
And also,
that's
they,
the interesting
like,
part.
Also, you know, listen to Alex. It was the War Room. They eat their own.
Oh, they do.
All the time.
They
all the
eat
time.
They're
their,
notorious they, for it. They have no loyalty to anybody.
Like,
as soon as you're considered, damaged goods, they throw you out real quick. Just look at Alyssa Bang.
Yeah.
She was good enough to be their tranny, but once they no longer needed her, they just, now they beat her up physically.
Yeah.
And that just goes to show you, they don't care if you're brown, trans, whatever. They're using you as a dog on a leash to be an attack, you know, prop, and to think and act a certain way until but if you become independent-minded and you start questioning what they're doing in the little religious cult that they got going on, they're gonna kick you to the curb and then beat the crap out of you as a way to teach you your place. I mean, think about it. What do they do to you, Louie? They call you a race traitor all day long.
Yeah. Or that phone call, which I'm starting to think it's someone that I know, and I'm going to hear about
it
later.
It's probably more likely someone we all know, but
yeah,
I can't
it's like
it.
someone called me to prank on me. Oh, Louie, I got you, didn't I? I'm like, you blocked your number, and you changed your voice, and you only said three things. Like,
it may not be Antifa. It might be people more in our direction. They're just playing games. Which is stupid, personally. I'm not interested.
I don't care. It's like,
Like I said, Louie, they treat you, they call you a race traitor. I mean, you listen to language that came out of, like, straight-up white supremacist circles. Like, I'm talking actual Nazi circles and actual Klan circles. The language they use to describe people with, all you race traitor, you're this and that, is the same language Antifa people use on people they're either allied with or their enemies. Look what they did to those Marines in over in Philadelphia. They called them the S word.
Yeah.
And attacked them. But then called them Nazis at the same time. It's like, what? So they're like I said, this is left wing white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
What I find,
they're going
to
use the same language.
You were saying?
Now instead of, you know, calling somebody of color like by their name or, you know, just generally identifying somebody, they specifically have to go out of their way to call them a POC, you know, a person of
color. Yeah, people of color. A prisoner of color. Because you're a prisoner of our ideology.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know,
like
until POWs. Until you counter the narrative. And
well,
they'll discard you.
What they're doing is no different than what actual white supremacists are. And more and more I interact with all these different groups of people. Yeah, I found something remarkable because I was talking to, you know, I was talking to some of these Antifa types about the Bill of Rights. And I asked them, well, why is it white supremacy and stuff like that? Because they believe the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, and everything America is about is a white supremacist, you know, document and ideology. But you know what's funny? You talk to some of these white supremacist types, the actual white supremacists on the right, they believe the same thing, too. So it's like Antifa believes the same thing that white supremacists believe. They all agree on the same things.
They're all upper-class liberals. That's the thing. It's like every single one of these people, except of, you know, a handful of people, most of them are from suburban backgrounds where mommy and daddy spoon-fed them their entire lives.
Gated communities.
Yeah, and they never got to experience what the real world is like. And when they enter college, they think, oh, this is the real world. The real world revolves around social justice.
Tim Pool had made a couple videos recently, I believe on Timcast, is one of his YouTube channel. And I think he hits the nail perfectly. He's calling the social justice a religion. And I got to say, I've been calling it pretty much that for a couple years now. It's like probably 2014, 2015, because that's the kind of discussion I've been having with people. But Tim Pool is outright calling these people a, you know, they're left-wing, you know, racial identitarians. And everything that they subscribe to is the equivalency to, like, a non-theistic religion. It's like a secularized religion.
Yeah,
and really, there's really something to that. And they do. They want hierarchies. They want, you know, privileged class. They want to... You're guilty of original sin. Like, literally, like, one of these SJW Antifa types, like, a couple weeks ago, explained to me why I'm racist. They told me that it's interwoven in my DNA from my genetics. Because I have white DNA, that makes me, by default, a white supremacist and a racist.
What is that, like, some form of, like, metachlorian rate? Like, you're, like, a KKK
That's
Jedi
eugenics.
Or something?
This is basically, they're behaving identical to the people who would, you know, claim that blacks are predisposed to crime or something because of their genetics. Those are the kind of arguments you used to hear in white supremacist circles. Now these people are basically adopting those same concepts, and they're turning it around and saying that's a white people. It's pretty remarkable to me.
I've been saying this for a while. Language is very important, and when you're able to change the definition of a word and give it new meaning, you effectively nullify the original meaning, and that word becomes something different. And that's what they're doing, is they're changing language.
Well, that's the goal. Absolutely, 100%, they're changing language. You see, they have definitions. They have their definitions, and the public has its own definitions. But the thing is, because the public doesn't know the definitions that these Antifa people are using, the public is under the false perception that they're using the same definitions. When Antifa claims they're fighting white supremacists, the public is not aware that Antifa really means they're fighting constitutionalists, not white supremacists.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, it's just
Nazis
like the,
to them
the
can mean anything.
It's like
somehow it means, you know, middle-of-the-road conservative capitalist, which is a really bizarre
right.
definition for National Socialism.
Well, the definition of toxic masculinity. Now, that definition was actually coined by medical professionals. And so, you know, three prime examples. You know, a guy likes guns. He likes to go hunting. He likes to play sports. He likes to do that. That's not toxic masculinity. That's just masculinity. A guy likes to spend time with his family. He believes in the nuclear family. He's the breadwinner. That's not toxic masculinity. The medical definition of toxic masculinity is a guy that suffers from PTSD because he went into combat. He can't sleep at night. He constantly has night terrors when he does finally fall asleep. He's always drunk because of that. He's heavily medicated most of the time just to keep him sane. That's toxic masculinity. But because the general public doesn't know what toxic masculinity, and even these SJWs don't know what it is, they coin, you know, they take the word and they make their own definition to mean anything that is a male trait is toxically masculine unless you are effeminate.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. They have their own definitions. They're, you know, when it comes to racism, they argue power plus privilege. But then when you point out, well, minorities are going to be white in like 30 years, you know, they're going to be a minority group of people in like 30, 50 years. So does that mean the new majority is going to be a racist group? They're obviously not going to say yes, because how is that going to benefit the so-called press when they become the majority? That whole scenario doesn't work. It doesn't make sense.
Well, even Malcolm X said that the most dangerous person to, you know, civil rights is the white liberal.
Well, his argument was valid considering most of the white liberals are a bunch of progressive Marxists. There are Marxists involved with Nation Islam and the 5%ers. Yeah, you do have strands of that, but you also have other strands that aren't that as well. They lean more nationalistic, and at least, you know, are interested in the betterment of their people, which is different than a Marxist.
Well, it's just like they want to hail Martin Luther King as a civil rights hero, and he may have done a lot for the civil rights movement, but politically he was a Marxist. He believed in,
yeah, he was.
You know, he believed in Marxism, and Malcolm X was actually like a true blue libertarian type.
Well, that's the funny thing, you know, they were both assassinated, yes, but, you know, let's just go with Martin Luther King's premise of he wanted equality for all the races to, like, come together in harmony. Well, that's not right. What Antifa is calling for. Antifa's not calling for harmonizing the races. They're literally calling for separating the races in a very highly regressive. They want to bring us back to segregation, essentially. By separating white people and the blacks and everybody else and, you know, almost like in a forced way.
Yeah, but look, I mean, that's already happening. Look at what they're doing in colleges. They have areas that are designated white free. If you're white, you're not allowed to go in there. Like how?
Exactly.
This is how I would describe it because when I used to live in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, there was a public pool that, you know, you had to pay to use. It was like $150 for the year.
Right.
The thing is, every Sunday, every day except Saturdays, there were a women's only swim for the Jewish women, and that was like a 3 to 4 hour block. It made the news. And you know, and you know, they had to put up the curtains because, you know, you can't. They can't be seen with bathing suits on. It was women's only. And, you know, it's like, wait a minute. So I'm spending, I don't want to say all this money, but you're spending money to be able to use the facilities when they're open. Yet for this block of time, we're not allowed to use it. So the thing is, by using that logic, because technically women could use the facilities more than men, the men should have to, men should be charged less because there's a block of time we can't use.
I'll look for it.
Like we can't use the pool.
No, I'll look for it.
So, I mean, and I'm bringing it back to the co-college thing. Like, you have these students, they're paying thousands of dollars in tuition, and you're telling them, because of the color of their skin, they're not allowed to go to certain areas. Like, fuck that. Like, fucking grow up. If I gotta, like, you know, like, okay, if they're really racist, is that gonna cure racism by kicking them out of a place that they paid for?
No. It's gonna feed into it and perpetuate it.
It's gonna turn people racist.
I dropped out.
That's exactly what I'm talking about with Spencer Sunshine.
Yeah.
Because that's what he wants. He wants to create anti-Semites. He wants people to convert over to anti-Semitism so that he can play the victim and make money from it. To him, it's purely about making money and just power. And he believes in this, like, racial identitarianism of his own type, where Judaism is not a religion but a race. And that's what he's trying to do. And I noticed not just him, but I noticed a lot of the Antifa-type Jews, they play this game. They love it. And like Spencer Sunshine has been trying like hell to convert me over to anti-Semitism. And I'm not going to do it. I'm smarter than he fucking thinks I am. But I recognize what he's doing. He's playing off the stereotypes, and then he's doing all these things so that he can create me as the enemy. And then cry about how he's the victim. I hate to break it to him, he's an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to be Jewish to be an asshole. He's just an asshole for all the stuff he's done to people. I mean, but that's the type of game that's going on. That's what these regressive leftists like to do. They like to literally create this environment.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that annoys me about them is that with that attitude, it's like, I don't know if you guys ever dealt with this. It's like when a little kid, like punches you with your back turned, like punches you in your face and then runs away. And, like, he's a block away.
It's like Antifa every time.
Like, it's like he's screaming, "You're a pussy!" I'm like, but you're running away, and you're a block away.
do it. And that's what Antifa does just about every time, everywhere they're at. They literally are cowards. I mean, I would like to see Antifa actually combat real Nazis for once in my life. I'd love to see that.
They're not going to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see Antifa like going head-to-head with like a group like Combat 18. You know, combat Adolf Hitler. I mean, those are guys who train weapons. They physically, you know, engage in, you know, sparring with each other. They look like they're built like giant. They're like three times the size of Antifa, muscle and all. I don't see Antifa going after guys like that. I think guys like that would kill Antifa in about 5 seconds.
Oh, you don't see that.
Instead, they're beating up wheelchair-bound like veterans who voted for Trump. I mean, come on. That's who they're going after.
And that's the thing. And I've been telling the guys, you know, every time we have discussions like this, I say the reason why they target the Proud Boys is because we looked at it as a soft target because we don't react when they dox us. We don't react because we're trying to take the power away from them. The moment we react, we're giving them power.
Well, that's the other thing I need to point out, too. Antifa can't beat us in a physical fight. Most of them are a lot stronger than they are. So what they're doing is they're literally, like, I'll give you an example with the Proud Boys in New York City. Antifa baited them into a combat situation. They acted, and now they're all facing, you know, criminal, you know, charges and records. And well, Antifa took them out of circulation as a result of them. They were good soldiers out in the field defending free speech. So what Antifa is now doing is they're baiting people into fights. And they've been doing that for years. They've done that to quite a few of my friends who unfortunately end up with misdemeanor charges and things like that because they were defending themselves in fights. Antifa will throw the first punch, get hurt, and then run to the police and then use the police as a weapon and the court system as a weapon against people on our side. And we have to figure out smarter ways to deal with them.
Of course.
Because
of course.
if we don't, we're going to have good men out of circulation, like Tiny or Weber.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, you you know, de Blasio and Cuomo jump on the bandwagon as well. And, you know, there's, you know, if we have time, I'd like to bring up the fucking the atrocity that he legislated, you know, he said they pushed the New York Senate pushed through legislation today, which that blew my fucking mind. But
abortion.
Cuomo was so proud of that.
Abortion until 9 months.
Sounds like after abortion is on the way.
Yeah. I mean, what? We're going to... And then what? If your toddler is acting up, you could just throw him in a fucking wood chipper. It's like, well, it's an abortion. You're not...
Well, that guy didn't want to throw that Trump supporter in a wood chipper for, you know, grinning to the Native American Marxist.
Well, you can... You know, Jack Morsey would agree with the wood chipper scenario.
Yeah, so, I mean, these people, well, I mean, they do want to throw us a wood chipper. There's no doubt about that. But, yeah, I'm telling you, what we got to do is, since we know the state's against us, we know the system's not in favor of us, we know the system, the deep state, is doing what it's doing, so we have to come up with smarter ways to deal with Antifa. And just, like, if they try to bait us... Now, screw that. Let's bait them into getting themselves arrested. We can take punches. We can handle it. And we can find ways to get them arrested. Because the thing is, they want us to get caught attacking them back. They want us to get caught fighting in self-defense. Because they know by putting us through the court system that we're going to be facing, you know, probation, so to speak. And if we get in trouble again, then guys are going to get locked up for a while.
I am not carrying around my I'm not carrying around my congas just to drum in front of them to intimidate them.
I'm gonna throw maracas at you.
Yeah. I fucking hated that. She almost got snuffed up. I swear to God. Remember?
That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to taunt us.
Remember when I got hit in the head? Remember when I got hit in the head at May Day with a fucking bear with fucking maraca?
Yeah.
Like. What?
Yeah.
And then I was about to, I freaking lunged at where I came from. Like, what? You're going to hit a woman? I'm like, you hit me again? I will. Got no.
See, that's the other thing Antifa does. They put women on the front lines. They look for women to recruit that they know are emotional and, you know, want to fight the evil patriarchy. So they throw them on the front line And a lot of times these women are convinced, well, these men are chauvinists. They're not going to hit us back because it goes against their, chivalry to hit a woman. Because, you know, they believe in gender bias. They don't realize they're going to get hit. Because some people just don't care about all that. They're just going to knock them down.
Well, they also forget, like that old joke goes, they also forget that chivalry was also rules for engagement.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
but that's the thing.
You go back to the 1800s, if a woman hit a man, the man hits a woman back.
And you know, it's really funny, too. Like, I'll give you an example. In New York City, like, there's these guys that would go to the New York City football club games at Yankee Stadium, and Antifa would be in the stands, just like the other crew. And these guys would see Antifa hiding behind the LGBT section of the game, and they would use them as human shields so that if Antifa were to engage in combat, they could not only argue its gang charges on the people that they want to target, but then they could also throw a hate crime on you. So that's the other reason why they're using women and LGBT people. It's kind of like their frontline shield, so they can then turn around and use those charges against the people that they're actually persecuting. And then, of course, none of these people being used as human shields realize that at the time they're being used as human shields. That's the incredible part. Mm-hmm. It's really remarkable.
But, yep. So, anyways, guys, we went a little over. Gabe, any?
I'm good at that, aren't I?
Yes, you are. Any last words before?
Sure. Yeah, my name is Gabriel Brown. I've been dealing with Antifa for 5 years.
Hi, Gabriel.
Right now, I'm just trying to make things happen, and hopefully, we can create coalitions against Antifa. Trying to work together as best we can. You can find my social media on YouTube at GB0083. And I have a bunch of videos up. I hope to have more footage up at some point when I have time to edit the stuff I've been working on the last 6 months. So that's how people can find me. And we got to do our best to work together with as many people as we can. And forget all this petty infighting crap. It's not necessary. It's not going to help us. The strategy of Antifa is to have us infight with each other because they can't beat us one-on-one. But they can beat us if we beat ourselves up. That's another thing that's got to be emphasized. So I want to point that out. Let's try to find people to work together with. Yeah.
Good points. Josh, your turn?
Well, we kind of got the introduction out of the way. But if you guys want to hear our podcast, we'll have one every Monday and every Friday, the Fuck Around and Find Out podcast. You can find us on Twitter. If you want to email the elders with any questions, comments, or anything like that, you can email us at theelders@protonmail.com. Just make sure when you're emailing us, if you're not, an impolite, uncouth dickhead from the other side, if you're media, especially, introduce yourself, come at us. Don't just ask us questions for your hit piece on us first, because we're more than likely not going to answer. We do that, we ignore Huffington Post and the Daily Beast all the time because they don't have the proper introduction techniques. But Fuck Around and Find Out podcast every Monday and Friday.
Alrighty. Anyways, I'd like to thank you two gentlemen for coming on. Hal, you're always welcome. Gabe, you could just go in the fridge and get whatever the fuck you want.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Louie.
So, anyways, I'd like to thank everyone for listening. I actually also like to thank the guy that called me I'm the face of white supremacy. I'm going to put that on my resume. fuck it. You're the face of white supremacy. So, all right.
The face of white privilege.
Well, okay. 1488 to you too, my friend. So, anyways, this has been the Crouch Out Radio Show. I have been Louis B. And as always, from my house to your house, mahalo.
And that's the end of my show. Donk.
Help the Crowd Shout Radio Show grow and thrive by doing something you already do. Shop on Amazon. Amazon always has great deals for whatever you are looking for, from survivalists and riot gear to Beanie Babies. Next time you're going to shop at Amazon, use my link. The prices stay the same, but I get credit for the sale. Just go to tinyurl.com/LouisB and just shop normally, knowing that you're helping support the Crotch Shot Radio Show. That's tinyurl.com/LouisB.